The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham became the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah became the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez became the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab became the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz became the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed became the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David, the king. David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon became the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asaphah. Asaphah became the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah became the father of Jotham, Joseph the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah became the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amos, Amos the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the Babylonian exile. After the Babylonian exile, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, Abiud became the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok became the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar became the father of Manahem, Manahem the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Thus, the total number of generations from Abraham to David is 14 generations. From David to the Babylonian exile, 14 generations. From the Babylonian exile to the Christ, 14 generations. Now, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Today I bring you great news. In the city of David, a king has been born. Jesus is Lord. So on behalf of myself, Father Steve, Father Thomas, Father Bolding, and all the staff here at St. Thomas the Apostle, I want to wish you the most merriest of Christmas and a blessed New Year. What a beautiful way. For us native Arizonans, the Lord kind of threw a little curveball at us with this rain today. We're usually having 75, 80 degree weather, and it's 50 and raining and hardly see in front of us, but the church is still packed. Praise be the Lord. We want to make sure that we've welcomed all of you here to the house of God. Those of you that are here every Sunday, those of you that are here occasionally, and those that have never been in these walls before, know that you are loved and you are welcome here in this house of God. Know that you always have a family here. It is the family of God, and we want to see you throughout the year. I especially want to thank all the parents. Myself, being married for 22 years and having three children, I know how difficult the past week and especially the last 48 hours are trying to just make everything perfect, from getting the kids ready for Mass, for getting the kids fed, making sure everything is prepared for tonight and tomorrow, all the different things you've done. And you still make the sacrifice to come and celebrate with us this beautiful season of Christmas and to worship the Lord. And I know it's not easy. And you'll receive many gifts within the next 48 hours, some of them with bows, some of them are going to be challenges. I think it was the first Christmas where my wife and I were married. We were at St. Timothy's, where you had to arrive 2.5 to 3 hours before Mass started to get a seat. And I was a resident at the time, so I was finally making some money, not being supported by my wife. And I bought her a dress. So I bought her this nice, shiny, slimmering dress. That was the style back then. I don't think it would pass now. But we had everybody coming over our home for dinner afterwards. She had prepared a beautiful evening. Everything was going smoothly. We went and dropped our oldest son, Michael. St. Tim's used to have a daycare center, and I think he may have been 3 or 4 months old. And I went into the church to save seats, and I come walking back. And lo and behold, Maria was finally ready to take a deep breath. And I noticed on her dress, poop all down her thing that she didn't notice. So things are going to happen. She did not recognize what Michael happened. So you know the saying, poop happens. So things are going to happen to us today. Someone's going to say the wrong thing. The prime rib is going to be overdone or not. Everybody's going to have an opinion of something. But remember, those are all gifts. And they show our imperfection. And they show why we need a Savior. And that's what this Christmas is about. The Lord has already come. We commemorate his coming today as we look forward to his second coming. But it shows our imperfection in that we have a need. We have a need for a Savior. In our brokenness, God chose to enter humankind beautifully, only out of love and goodness for us. He chose to come into us in our brokenness, and he came fully as a form of love, because that is what he is. He can be nothing more than what his essence is love. And he came to enter a human family. He just didn't drop out of the sky and a stork and boom, God pushed himself upon us. No, he came as the innocence of a child. And I'm sure it was very difficult for some of you to listen, and you said, why is the deacon reading all those names of all those 42 generations of people? Why? Because it's vitally important, and it's good news. You know what's good news? For us. Because that's the family. That's a descendancy from what our Lord came from. That's what God chose to enter into, embrace the human condition. And if you look at some of those names that we heard in that, that gives us a radical message of love. I'll briefly mention a few. King David. Obviously, King David restored Israel. He was the king. He brought everybody together. But he also had his challenges. Ruth was an immigrant. And she was a woman. The Israelites didn't mention women in their ancestry, in their writings. So it shows that the message of Jesus was different. Not only did he mention a woman, or that was mentioned in the scriptures, it was also brought in that she was a foreigner. She was an immigrant. She wasn't an Israelite. She was from Moab, and she's mentioned. So if God could redeem the world through this answer, through this lineage, through this dysfunctional family of Jesus, just think if we allow ourselves to be moved and open by that radical message of love, what he could do with us in our families. Those of you may not know, I'm an OBGYN. And the message that I really want to leave you with is, again, the innocence of a child. Births are very important to me. They're a big part of my life. And I've delivered over 10,000 babies, and most recently delivered the first quintuplets at St. Joseph's Hospital. It was a great privilege of mine. But whether it was my first delivery or my 10,000th delivery, the beauty is I still remember Dr. Finch at Maricopa Medical Center whispering 4 words into my ear. And he says, whatever you do, I was a third-year medical school, don't drop the baby. And that is important to us today because what that baby in the manger represents. He represents our family. He represents love. He represents immenses of the family of God. And just our relationship with God, it needs to be nurtured. It needs to be cared for. It needs to be worked on it. Just like that baby in the manger needs to be fed and clothed and taken care of, so does our faith. So does our families. So does our well-being. So remember, and I encourage you, we as Catholics, as Christians, the beauty is Christmas is not a secular holiday for 24 hours or 48, but we have an entire season of Christmas. We celebrate for a long time. So celebrate the octave of Christmas. Celebrate these 8 days. Do things with your family. But I really encourage you to take some time after Mass, visit the manger, or go into a nativity set in your home, and really meditate and ponder and look at the baby Jesus. Look at his arms there. They're not closed off, but they're open. They're open an invitation to embrace us, to love him, to enter into us. And those arms will grow up to the cross. The ultimate act of love and sacrifice, the crucifix. That is what our faith is. He was born to die for the redemption and salvation of our sins. So again, enjoy, remember, don't drop the baby, nurture and care for the baby, and have the merriest and blessed of Christmas. God bless you all.